GPS in it. They had this on Warwick County. Yeah, we had this GPS stuff in here for them.
Oh, wow. So people can do self-guided tours.
We did that about maybe 10 years ago, I guess it was. Here's the book we had. This is in, you can get it from Arcadia, Amazon.
Oh, okay. I've seen these before.
And these are just two of the books we did. Dangerville Newbie and Sheldreen Copeland. We did two calendars. And this here is the house we own.
Oh, okay.
This is what it looked like we bought it.
Oh, wow. So this is the stone mm-hmm. house connected to
yeah, right. Yeah, right. Uh-huh. That little connection there. We're going to tear this out right here.
Uh-huh.
And look at it now.
This is it now. Wow. It's very different. So you put on a new roof?
No, I just had to paint it.
Painted it.
The house laid empty for over 35 years. And it was the back porch was falling down.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing, we started work on it and get it painted. And before we got it painted, the painter on the side painting asked us for the electricity cut off.
Mm.
And we said, yeah, the juice been cut off, you know, the house has been empty for 35 years.
Yeah.
Well, the juice was on. And it had those knobs,
uh-huh.
electrical, you know.
Yeah.
One of the places didn't burn down.
Wow, that's amazing.
We had the whole place rewired.
Uh-huh. So someone had been living there?
No, been up there.
Oh, I mean before. 35 years before.
Yeah, 35. The lady that lived in there moved out around 1970 into a nursing home.
Okay.
That was Ollie Besson. She was a teacher.
So it stayed in the Blessing family.
It stayed in the Blessing family.
Wow, that's amazing.
But those are just some of the things we've done. Some other things we've done was to give a picture to the museum to hang up on Delaney. We also helped with the celebration they had here with the John Brown back here in 2009. We had a real big, almost like a play-like. We had a VMI soldiers, you know, students come here. We had the reenactment of the horse-drawn carriage carrying the John Brown in the casket to the hanging site. We had the gallows rebuilt.
Uh-huh.
We had the whole ball. Wow. So we played a part of that.
Mm-hmm. And did that happen here?
Here in Charlestown.
Is this where he was hung?
Yeah.
Okay. And did they move, was his body?
His body was hung here, and they took his body to New York.
Okay, and he's buried there.
Yeah.
So this has sort of been a living history museum for people to visit?
Well, not really a living history, just been a building
mm-hmm.
with displays in there, but it's not exactly what we wanted.
Right.
It was really never open to the public to come in any time at all. It's just whenever we plan it or someone wanted to go for a walk.
Okay.
Because we never got to the point that we had the manpower to really open as a museum, and it really felt that it wasn't ready.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no water at all in the buildings and no restroom facilities, so we had to put a restroom in it, a toilet in there. We received help from the garden club. The garden club came in and put an outhouse in the backyard display. They also built a garden out there. It's a lady named Ellen May. She was really instrumental in really taking care of the yard with the garden and outhouse. She got the students from the high school to build the outhouse.
Mm-hmm.
She also didn't like the way that the walk was ran back, so she went and helped get a grant, about $12,000 or $15,000 to redo the walk, ran back. So.
So, could you tell me about the Heritage Festival?
Yes. I'm the president of the Jefferson County NAACP. Back in around 1990, one of the ladies, Ollie Talbert, called me and James Talbert, her son, to her house one day and said that, you know, what we really need in Jefferson County is some kind of way that we can have a festival so we can display Black history and Black art. And also where that the Black community could make some money. Because when you usually have these festivals, the Black community is shut out and can't really really get involved as such. So we took it to the NAACP. Now, Ollie Talbert, she was on the executive committee of the NAACP. So we took it back to the executive committee and they agreed to it. So we decided to go ahead and have that that year, that August. We didn't have no money, no idea what to do at all. So we scheduled it for August. So our plans were to have a parade. So we had a parade. We had a parade about maybe 10 or 12 entry. We had a band, had the high school band in it. We had a couple of churches with cars and that type of thing. And we went down, had the parade ground down by the Masonic Hall on the school lot. And that was our festival ground. And for entertainment, we had a couple of the church's choirs to stand out in the road and had the road block off and just sung songs. And we gave away some awards. So the award we gave away was one of our members, Harold Stewart, got one of these souls that can cut out different design. He cut out the design of the state. And we used those as awards. That night we had a banquet at Shepherd College, and then that Sunday we had a church service, and that was our first program, our first festival. And some of the things we had at that festival, we had books, strictly all Black books, that people couldn't get a hold of, they were for sale. We had some people came in and stole African clothing, and also some other African stuff. And then the vendors were more or less local vendors selling hot dogs and hamburgers and so forth. So that's how we got started. So over the years, as we progressed, you know, we learned as we went along, because it took money to run it, and we didn't have the money. So then we finally found how to make money. At first, we had a souvenir journal, but it cost money to put together a souvenir journal and take manpower. So then we found, why do a souvenir journal? Just ask outright for help. So we prepared a list and shipped out the list to different sponsors, and sure enough, they came through. And then about maybe 10 years into the thing, we realized that the state had fair money. So we got hooked into them. So that's how we funded. But then things changed. Since we were getting money, we could really improve. We were able to get a stage for sound system from Fort Detrick, Maryland, the military. We got their stage in, a real big stage, the lights and everything. Mm-hmm. We were able to hire a real good sound person. Also was able to bring in some bands, big bands, to participate on the stage. And one of the largest group we've brought in here for the band was the Ballou High School Band out of D.C. And they perform in the Rose Bowl and also in the Macy Day Parade. Wow. But they're out of D.C. and they came down here. And you know, we didn't have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. We never pay unless we have to pay. Mm-hmm. So we have been very fortunate. And some of the bands, entertainment bands at nighttime, were bands that was tied to the Chitlin' Circuit. Are you familiar with the Children's Circuit?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah.
You're one of the few people who know about the Children's Circuit.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I've been looking into it a little bit, where it went up in West Virginia.
The Children's Circuit?
Well, that's what, I was working with
stop off at Children's Circle.
Yeah.
Okay, well, are you aware that Charlestown, Jefferson County here, was the beginning of the Children's Circuit?
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, James Brown came through here, Ray Charles came through here, Ike and Tina Turner came through here because they couldn't stay elsewhere.
Right.
So after they hit New York and Philadelphia and Baltimore and Washington, the next stop was here. And that's where they had to stay in the black homes and black hotels. And they would stay here, and then they would go over in Maryland someplace or down Virginia, and then they'd come back here at that late at night and stay. And then, after they get done moving here, they move further south.
Okay. And I think their story was that sometimes after they'd play big theaters, then they'd go out at night in the local.
Black area. Yeah.
Yeah. So they would play with local musicians.
Right.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. So then the rest of the festival, I guess then we really began to get our festival organized. We got different committees do different things. Got a fundraising committee, got a program committee, got our space utilization committee. So things are going pretty smooth now. So this is our 27th or 28th year, and I'm stepping down this year, my last year. Matter of fact, I'm hoping that someone else can take it over this year coming up. Well, but in the meantime, the NAACP organized it. NAACP ran it up until about maybe 5 years ago.
Okay.
And then the festival became incorporated on its own because the NAACP don't have the time to run the festival. We got too many other things to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
So now the festival really is on its own.
I see.
Yeah, and it's a nonprofit corporation. And hopefully next year we can get a 501c3 for it.
Mm, nice. And who are some of the bands that you brought in who were on the Children's Circuit?
We brought in the Orioles.
Oh, cool.
We brought in the Clovers. We brought in, I can't think of right hand. But mostly they have been older bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at the same time, these bands were the top attraction. But we had two or three bands lead up to it, and they were more or less local bands within the 60 or 70 mile area. Local bands that would play R&B and jazz,
uh-huh.
And they would be they'll start around 2 or 3 o'clock and go up to around 7, and then at 7 o'clock we bring in the main attraction.
Cool.
Yeah.
Are any of them in West Virginia?
The band?
Yeah.
Local band? Oh yeah, most all of them local.
Yeah.
We try our best to bring the local bands be somewhere in the area. Yeah.
Because one of the things I do is work with traditional musicians, and we have an apprenticeship program, documentation, trying to get them support. So if there's any bands that you could mention that I could be put in touch with, that would be amazing.
One band that maybe fit the bill for that.
Uh-huh.
About maybe 15 years ago, I was down in Beckley for NAACP meeting and a luncheon, and this one man and wife was playing religious music.
Uh-huh.
They were really great.
Oh, cool.
We brought them up here, and they came up here for almost for 12 or 13 years straight.
Wow.
Because the public just liked their music.
Mm-hmm.
The name is Carl Miller,
okay.
K.W. Miller.
K.W. Miller, okay.
Out of Bramwell.
Okay. Huh.
He even got a CDs.
Okay. I'll look him up.
I can give you his number, but
we
haven't had him here in the past 2 years because we wanted to bring in additional people.
Mm-hmm.
Also, our money wasn't quite right,
mm-hmm.
because the state money got cut back some. But hopefully we'll bring him back in next year.
Nice.
But yeah, that's an example of folklore or what it is,
yeah.
But personally, his style of music is the old black religious type music.
Oh, yeah.
Just him on the piano and his wife singing the old time gospel.
Oh, cool. I would love to hear that.
Yeah.
I also worked with, I interviewed the Gospel Singaliers out of Beckley.
Mm-hmm.
The Gospel Singaliers. It's a quartet, and they sing gospel songs, but it's like an R&B quartet.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really good. But yeah, it's all gospel stuff. They said they had tried to sing R&B in their youth and got in trouble with the pastor. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So what's the NCW? Oh, first of all, for the festival, how many people does it usually draw?
Oh God, we pull 1,000. We the figure we use to do our program, I don't have a program there. We use about 4,000 to 5,000 people. That's true. Well, if you look at the first 2 or 3 years of pitches, oh God, there was nobody on the sidewalks at all, and the cars were still on the streets. And here we had our festival parade coming down there. And now there is no cars in the street. The police block it all. Uh-huh. People get there an hour ahead of time before the parade starts, the street. And even there, also there are vendors. We don't have them lifting out there hawking balloons and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it has really became real big now.
What about artists who participate? Is there anyone I should know about for artists?
You mean at night programs?
Or just some of maybe the vendors? Are there any like craftsmen or local people?
Just the local and those around the D.C. area, Baltimore area that we run into.
Okay.
Matter of fact, if some of our members go somewhere and see someone, they felt they should come here.
Uh-huh.
We go ahead and invite them.
Uh-huh.
We do put emphasis on trying to get local people here first, and also we want more or less some real craft, not just stuff to come from China or somewhere
right,
else. Yeah.
Right. Is it always the same weekend every year?
Always the same weekend, the third weekend. Third Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, August. And also every Friday night, that's Friday night, the youth have a block party. And while the youth is having a block party, the adults is about a block over in the auditorium having a gospel program.
Mm.
Particularly. And the youth block party, you know, the first time we had a handful of kids there. And then there's a couple hundred kids, but the surprising thing is there's never been a problem because you find about 35 or 40 parents there. And the parents is helping to serve the food there. We have hot dogs, hamburgers, a whole ball of wax. And all this food usually come from the, it's free. They come from the store. They give it to them.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's and never had any problem.
And the youth block party, do they have musicians?
Yeah, they only bring in a DJ to play the music.
Cool.
They have the streets blocked off, the lights there, and
uh-huh.
we have a restaurant that they can use. When we first got started, we were using the restaurant and the large hall, the two restaurants. And then later on, we moved to getting Potty Johns. Got about 2 or 3 of those.
Mm-hmm.
But now we don't use Potty Johns no more. We have the trailer. You ever seen one of those with air conditioning in it?
Yeah.
Air conditioning.
Nice.
Radio, music in there, the whole.
Wow.
So now we use that now and put it out there in the middle of the field so that people can see it and really, yeah.
Cool.
So we have it set on that Friday nights with the kids and have it also.
What's the NAACP working on these days?
Oh God, the NAACP right now is working on voter registration and voter education. That's one of the things we're working on.
Uh-huh.
We're also working on environmental issues.
Mm-hmm.
We're also working on some problem with the VA and discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
We're also working on, oh God, we always got projects to work on.
Yeah.
Always. And
so for the voting project, that's locally. And what does that involve exactly? Is it gerrymandering or is it getting people to polls?
The concern is getting people to register to vote. New people come in, also kids get up in age.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to get all of them registered as soon as possible. We don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. The main thing is to get them registered.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the process right now. We already had a couple meetings, and there'll be another meeting next week. And we got teams out there to see how we're going to do it.
Oh,
we go to the schools. We go to the Job Corps. We set up booths in different places and people to register to vote, and the churches. And then most likely we starting in January, February, we'll start having education forum to talk about what the and bring the candidates in.
Uh-huh.
We always have candidate forums. We got the reputation of having a, we call it open forum. We don't believe in letting people write notes and for questions. In other words, you got a question to ask a candidate, you ask your own self out in public.
Yeah.
And our forums have become very hot. We have had candidates to walk out of us, out of our forums, because they do not like to be questioned.
Mm-hmm.
And after we have the education and the forums, our next goal will on election day. We'll call around to the different places, different homes and so forth. Also, we'll take them to the polls. We want to go to the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And it really worked.
Yeah.
And we have made some changes on some of the office here. And we don't push Republican or Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
We just for the issues.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we can't go partisan anyhow.
Right.
Yeah, when I was in college in Michigan, I worked on, it was at the second Bush election, and we were getting people to the polls, working with the NAACP rides and stuff. But there was a lot of voter intimidation at the actual polling places. It was pretty shocking to see.
I can remember when the election took place, in order to get a vote, all you got to do is give them a little miniature thing of whiskey. People, I'm serious.
Wow.
I remember very well when I was a kid. People would come around to my house, my father there,
uh-huh.
to take him to the poll.
Uh-huh.
And they would tell him how to vote, who to vote for, and then they'd give him a little miniature whiskey.
I've heard of this.
And,
yeah.
And this was big time here today,
uh-huh.
back then. And my father said, these people are foolish as heck. Here they are giving me a miniature whiskey to think I vote for this person. I vote for who I want to vote for. And that was, you know, that was the more or less the thing in the black community. They thought they were buying our votes and didn't realize it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember very well. Yeah, they got, yeah.
And it was sort of like a sponsored little bottle that had the candidate's name on it?
No, just the regular,
yeah.
Just the regular, you saw the dementias, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you could buy votes.
And then what are the environmental issues?
Environmental issues. Well, one of them is helping people get their houses rehab, push them to sign up for the rehab to get their home rehab, someone to come in. This rehabilitation program that the state got is low on money, but they're slow getting that. We are pushing that. Also working on things as far as the gas line, and also we looked at rock wool.
Mm-hmm.
We took a position on rock wool. Not a strong position as someone think, but we did take a strong position on. We like for it to stop,
mm-hmm.
but we also didn't go overboard. Because see, people like to use the NAACP. A good example is. I got telephone calls that they want the NAACP to come to fight the gas line that is coming into Rockwell because they're going through the black cemetery. And, you know, most likely we don't want that.
Right.
And they contact some of our people and told them the same thing. And they come to the meeting all upset over it because I recommend we do not get involvement. And the reason why is because of I went out there and looked at the cemetery, and I knew the cemetery in advance.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, the cemetery is here,
mm-hmm.
the pipeline's over here,
mm-hmm.
the road right here, and they imply that the thing is coming down to the cemetery, and then they're going to expand the road into it also. But they can expand the road all they want over here, and there's room over here for it.
Uh-huh.
And they want us to come and complain, just on the cemetery thing. And my position and the branch position was after we talked about it is, you know, we didn't want to be used.
Yeah.
Now, if that pipeline gonna affect the cemetery, we'd be the first up in arms.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't like to be used.
Yeah.
And we're going to do the very same thing with the incident, the mess down Harpers Ferry, with the Hilltop Hotel. So, not Hilltop, it's the hotel on Harpers Ferry. I'm not sure you're aware of that. Okay, it's one of the biggest hotels, the black owned,
okay,
in Harpers Ferry, and
okay,
it burned down, and then he had it rebuilt, and then someone else bought it, and now it sort of fell down. They want to rebuild it, real large. It's a real big issue down there.
Okay.
And they want us to get involved in it because the black man that used to own it back in the '20s, they said he wouldn't want no big building there, so therefore we should come out and. We refuse to get involved. They like to use us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there urban renewal here? Like there was in other cities that broke up neighborhoods?
No. No, I remember urban renewal what happened in Charleston.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've been kind of
looking at that history, the Triangle District history a little bit. But I was wondering if it affected this community at all.
No, we have. What happened?
Yeah. It's often bigger cities.
But we keep an eye on anything that takes place here that could affect the black community. For example, like what there was in the development out here in Ranson, a real big housing development. And we found about a black cemetery out there, and we more or less had to stop them, and they had to make sure that it is protected. And it was, not because of that, because the money problem with the company, you know, the whole complex was not built.
Mm-hmm.
But we always stay on top of those type of things.
Uh-huh.
Are there other heritage events, programs in the black community here?
Just the Black Cult and History Festival, that's about all.
Mm-hmm.
The churches have different things.
Yeah.
Like when they have a homecoming, they do different type of things. Almost all the black churches have something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, we have what you call the Juneteenth celebration every year.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that.
Yeah, the Juneteenth. That's a big thing.
Uh-huh.
We have hundreds of people who come to our Juneteenth thing. And we have opened it up, a handful of black people celebrating Juneteenth. For example, the Democratic Party, they have been sponsoring the hot dogs and stuff for the past couple of years. Not only is given to us, but they set the center and cook them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, other groups like the Deltas, the churches, we make it a community thing, all of them participate. And they have to, you know, they bring this stuff there, and not only just give it to us, they got to serve it themselves. You know, we don't serve, you know. They come there and they serve it. But we also make it a point that the homeless will participate.
Mm.
We make a point that the homeless come there, they eat, and they sit with the rest of us.
Mm.
There are no such thing as segregation of them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, I'd say 80% of the homeless here are white. And we, they have to get the same care as everybody else. You know, lots of times people don't want to have them. And we have little games, activities out there for them. I mean, for the public, and they participate in it.
Nice.
You know, because I think what you realize, most of us almost a paycheck or two from being homeless ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And I have been with a lot of them and talked with them, and you know, some of these homeless people who got master's degree,
right,
doctor's degree, and
mm-hmm,
really shocking.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, sad.
Is there anyone else that would be a good contact for arts and heritage in the area that you can think of?
Well, I can give you a couple of names. I can give you her. Carl and Carolyn Stewart. Okay. They've been very involved in the church, Episcopal Church, mm-hmm. and they do a whole lot of things. Carl and Carolyn Stewart.
Okay.
I can give you the name of Janet Jeffries. Now she's one of the person involved in everything. She is involved with the NAACP. She also involved with the festival. She is the oldest living member right now that has been involved in NAACP in the county. Now, I got involved in NAACP in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's younger than I am. I got involved in 1970, and she was a member working then. She has been the vice president, she's been the secretary, she's been the treasurer, and now she's the head of the community relations, so she would know what's going on. She takes care of the Well, she worked on the festival Friday night program. She worked on the feeding the homeless at the Juneteenth. She also responsible for the banquet. She's responsible for the Martin Luther King March because she always community relations.
What's the MLK March?
Huh?
What's the MLK March? Is that on MLK Day?
Yeah, not Martin Luther King Day, but it's always the second. It's a Sunday before Martin Luther King. It's a Sunday before the 15th.
Okay.
This has been going on, over 20 some years. Oh, no, it's been going on about 35, 40 years.
Oh, wow.
What we do, we first started out by going from one church, one black church, to another black church.
Mm-hmm.
We meet at one church, get our banners and everything, and march. Regardless of the weather, we always go from one church to the other church and have a program there.
Mm-hmm.
And it gotten so large that we just always had police escort. But it gotten so large that the church was too small for it. So now what we do is we meet down in front of the museum in Charlestown and march to the school auditorium and have a program there. Well, lots of time there is maybe 100 people sitting in the auditorium. Time you get there, people can't walk. They look forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually have police escort. Sometime the line, we usually march a two or three to a column, is 2 blocks long.
Wow.
Just getting there, yeah. And so this is what we usually have, and we usually have speakers there, a couple of different things. And sometimes we have controversial speakers. Like a couple of years ago, we had the head of the Democratic Party, the head of the Republican Party, and four or five other people. You know, but it's wide open. It's not, we keep it wide open.
Uh-huh.
Then we have the soul food tasting. Now this is more, I guess, along your line, what you're talking about as far as folklore.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This must have started back in the 70s. One of the ladies talking about having soul food tasting so that people could, the young kids, could realize what the old soul food was like.
Mm-hmm.
Like what was the sauce and what was crackling and what was fed back and this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So we thought we'd have a soul food tasting.
Nice.
So we had a schedule.
Uh-huh.
And had people to bring, favorite soul food. We had little dishes like this, just get a little nip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it got so large at that first one, there was so much food there.
Uh-huh.
That we had, that the next year we decided to just, make a little larger plate.
Mm-hmm.
It got so that some women, like some of the ladies in Shepherdstown, even though they couldn't come, they would make food and send food. And we had people who would just make food and send food. All we had food galore. So it actually became a dinner. And so that's been going on ever since back in the 70s.
Okay.
People talk about different what the different foods are.
When does that happen?
That always happens in February. We have our Black History program in February.
Uh-huh.
And after the program, we go into soul food tasting. See, there's a routine we have here that lots of the branches don't have. In January, we always have a Martin Luther King March. February, we always have a Black History Soul Food Tasting. In June, we always have a Juneteenth program. August, we always have a festival. And in October, we always have a banquet. But in the meantime, we have different kind of marches and protests. Just like a couple of months ago, we had a peace, not hate rally. We went from the museum down to the courthouse lawn, so we had a real big ceremony on the courthouse lawn. And so we always have, say, one or two marches every year for some issue. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, it's a funny thing, it's well, they're well attended, and very well integrated. Yes. Yeah.
Does the NAACP website have info about that? Like, if I wanted to come to the soul tasting, would there be a place?
We're going through some change. The website is still there.
Okay.
But also, you can go into the Jefferson County Black History Preservation Society. Also, they got a website.
Yeah, I've been to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add?
That's about all.
Thanks.
Go ahead.
And what have you been doing with Justin?
This will go into our archive if you agree, and we have a release form. And the archive goes to WVU and will be accessible in their library for the future for researchers or anyone interested. And then I'm just, like Mary, I'm trying to get just a picture of who's out there and what people are doing so we can hopefully build programming that can help, like grants that can help support things like this. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about WVU got quite a bit of stuff from us up there. They came here for a veteran. You remember that veteran program they had where they recorded the
Mm-hmm.
veteran? Matter of fact, they record them right here.
Oh, nice.
Well, it went to the Library of Congress today.
Yeah, I think that is at the Library of Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are you?
No, you mean I believe it. I helped to coordinate it.
Okay.
30-some veterans.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't get in myself.
And they didn't interview you?
Well, we were booked up.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.